So let's talk about the negative soul groups on our planet, starting with the Draconians. So their soul's vibrational matrix is actually structured differently from that of positive souls in that it's designed to receive vital force energy from others. So rather than working with primarily one or maybe two energetic qualities of vital force energy the way positive souls do, they can thrive on any energy sent their way via the attention and focus of others, whether that's positive or negative energy. Now, they frequently do employ manipulation, control, and disempowerment in order to direct vital force energy towards themselves in the form of fear, because it's one of the most powerful energies on our planet. So they do perpetuate concepts of sacrifice, hierarchy, and the illusion that there are situations where we might have no choice but to act against our own divine nature. Now, keep in mind, they're not bad people. I know I just said that, but they're really not bad people. In fact, often they're perfectly lovely and charming people, but they have to somehow receive vital force energy from the people in their environment rather than from divine source. So their manipulations can be really quite subtle. And when I say manipulations, it's just they do whatever they have to do to get attention, energy, and focus from others, because otherwise they will cease to exist. They will deteriorate. All right. So in order for them to keep creating their own experience, they have to receive vital force energy from others. Now, souls will usually find themselves engaging with a draconian individual or group for perceived gain, only to find themselves stuck in a situation they can't seem to get out of. And we've been doing this for thousands and thousands of years. So helplessness, victimization, and disempowerment are all powerful energies that a draconian soul can thrive on. But please remember that without helplessness, victimization, and disempowerment, there can also be no independence, safety, or power. So please understand, draconian souls provide a necessary polarity to positive souls on our planet. Let's not be in judgment. Remember, everything comes in equal opposites, everything. And draconians play an important role here. They really do. There's absolutely no need to be concerned for these souls. We're also not in a Star Wars movie. There is no need to turn these souls away from the dark side, okay? We don't need to return them to the light. Now, here's the thing. On very rare occasions, you might end up with positive draconian souls that do show up in our practice. So this can happen because sometimes these souls have received enough of a specific energetic quality of vital force energy from others that they begin to identify with one of the energy centers and eventually end up tapping into vital force energy from divine source. Now, this happens when they choose it to happen. We don't need to help them. All right, this is not about turning them positive. Let's all turn the draconians around. No, that would be judgmental. It's unnecessary. There's always going to be an even and equal balance of souls on our planet, because that's what universal law states. Let's not go against universal law. We will lose that battle. We really will. So they're doing just fine. Don't try to help them become positive souls. They're doing fine. Remember, they chose their negative orientation at origination. It's a vibrational match for how they were created. Without negative souls, there could be no positive souls. So divine source created them like this. So let's not argue with creation. And I stress that so much because I constantly get students who are like, so-and-so is a draconian soul. What can I do to help them? It's like, they're often doing better than we are. All right, they're fine. Leave them alone. Let them be who they are. Love them unconditionally, right? Just don't become a vital force energy source. So we don't vilify a lion for hunting and eating its prey. A lion is just doing what a lion does, what it's made to do. So please, do not judge negative souls for expressing their own divine nature. That being said, we also don't have to necessarily be the food for the lion, right? So when we give draconian souls our time and attention, we are essentially serving them as a source of vital force energy. So as family members, draconian souls can be very difficult. They can be very controlling and manipulative, doing whatever they can to gain our attention, which can be tough on their spouses or adult children, because if they can't gain positive attention, they will engage in negative attention seeking behavior. And these can be very draining people to be around. They really can. And especially on adult children and spouses, being in a relationship with a draconian, it can be really hard. Like, they will feel like they never have enough energy or enough resources to do what they want to do because they're always busy with their spouse or always busy taking care of their parent. So let's be very clear that draconian souls do need the people around them to be an energy source for them. And not all draconian souls will go out into the world and receive energy from 50 or 100 or hundreds or thousands of people. They won't. They will really receive energy from just their immediate family members and maybe a few close friends, and that'll be it. So then, you know, if the energy comes from very few people, those people are going to become really drained over many, many years. Of course, we don't work on behalf of draconian clients that are negative souls. We can't do a session for them. However, what happens is our clients may sometimes bring in and request sessions for them, and that's when we discover that they're draconian. So it truly serves our clients to know when their parents or their spouses or family members are draconians, and that a lot of their behavior is a quest for vital force energy via attention, because those relationships can be very, very difficult on our clients. And our clients will be trying so hard to help, not realizing that when they're trying to help, what they're doing is they're sending more vital force energy towards their draconian loved one. So the key to ending manipulation and drama with a draconian soul is to literally attention starve the situation. By the way, this is how you always deal with negative souls if they are creating drama in our lives, which we want to limit. Now, I just want to be clear. We don't have to be scared of negative souls. We choose who we give our time and attention to. We do. Now, it just so happens that with a negative soul, that energy exchange of time and attention is not going to be even an equal. We'll find ourselves somehow always giving a lot without that energy being reciprocated, except it may take us a little time to tune into that. Because these souls are good at getting our attention. It's not like they're all drama from the get-go. Things start out perfectly nice. And next thing you know, you're being drawn into a situation where suddenly you're involved and now you feel like you can't get out of it and what just happened, right? So that is more the MO for negative souls. But we are responsible for giving them our time and our attention and our energy. And we can also stop whenever we want. So there's no need for fear. Please don't even go with self-protection. Because when you try to protect yourself from something, you're saying that that something has power over you. Guess what you're doing? You're giving it a lot of time and attention. If you're trying to do spiritual self-protection, like protect yourself in a white bubble against negative souls, all you're doing is giving energy to negative souls. So don't do that. Just look at where your focus and your attention is going. Because really, it's about attention starving the situation, all right? So that's where we engage in self-discipline more than anything else. Nobody can take our energy. We give it to them. Attention starving a situation means we don't give that person or situation any energy, not at the level of action or even at the level of thought. When we do this, at first, the draconian soul, or any negative soul for that matter, will escalate their attention-seeking behavior. So they'll lay on a big guilt trip, they'll manage to manifest some sort of emergency that seems to demand our time and attention. If we do not engage at this point and continue to direct our attention to our own experience, that negative soul will totally lose interest and they're just going to poof, disappear. They're not being nurtured by our vital force energy anymore. They have to move on. So attention starving takes discipline. Because really what we end up doing is in our heads, we're like ranting and raving when someone's manipulating us, right? We're like having whole arguments in our heads with them and all this stuff. And that's all feeding energy. So it really takes self-mastery to not just disconnect from that person physically, where we're not actually spending time with them or talking with them, but also we're not directing our thoughts their way. But it's entirely possible because we're in charge of our thoughts. And we just direct them towards our own experience. Just keep coming back to our own experience, and you can really teach your clients this, who are dealing with negative souls. It is about self-mastery. It's not about self-protection. And I mean, at first they kick up a storm because they're like, it's almost like we're sending a weekly check in the mail, like an energetic check. And now the checks stop coming. What's that person going to do? They're going to start calling going, hey, where's my check, right? So they create a little drama. If we still don't nurture the situation, if we keep attention starving it, it just evaporates. And I mean, I've made people evaporate from my life using this technique. I had these horrible neighbors once with these dogs that were just, it was nothing but drama and noise, and I was miserable. I just had a baby. I never slept anyway, and now I had dogs barking next to me at all hours. And I was like, I am the powerful creator of my own experience. I'm going to attention starve this situation. I spent a month just practicing peace and tranquility, no matter what was going on next door. And you know what? One day, very shortly after that, it took maybe 4 weeks, a moving truck was right outside. And they left. It was like magic. I'm like, oh my God. So we are very powerful when it comes to where we put our attention and focus. And when we attention starve a situation, it has to go away. It just has to, because we're the powerful creators of our own experience. So I've had many, many instances of just people going away because of attention starving, and so have my clients. So this really, really works, and you can teach your clients that. Now, obviously, we have a lot of human conditioning to overcome that tells us we should be in relationships with family members simply because they're family, no matter how toxic that relationship is. So please support your clients in shifting their perspective if you can. All right, one of the main ways negative souls retain their influence and continue to receive energy from family members is through guilt and shame. There is never a good reason to maintain toxic relationships, even if those relationships are with our family members. Thank goodness the world is changing. We used to cling to family for survival and safety. It is no longer necessary. It isn't. Now, society may still think family is the most important thing, but why? Why is it the most important thing? You know, I mean, you ask people that, and it's like, well, the reason is for survival and safety. Because if we screw up and make a bunch of negative choices and create a bunch of negative consequences and get ourselves into hot water, our family has to be there to pick us back up. That's where that dependence comes from. But it's no longer valid. And if our parent or a sibling is in this manipulative, dramatic relationship with us, there's no reason we need to continue that. There just isn't. There really isn't. Now, you'll want to communicate clearly to your client that manipulation is how these souls derive energy from others, and that it won't stop. It really won't. It will not get better. So please don't cede the idea that these souls are negative and can somehow be changed to positive souls, okay? One of the biggest ways negative souls receive attention and time and energy from positive souls is our attempts to heal, fix, and help them. We are not helping. So just explain to your client how the draconian souls receive energy from them, and teach them how they can extricate themselves from this mechanism through free will by attention starving. And no worries, the draconian soul will simply move on to someone else to receive energy from. There's plenty of people on this planet who are willing to be an energy source to negative souls. It doesn't have to be our client. So, you know, it's not like we're like, oh no, I have to be an energy source for this person. That is a crazy way of thinking. And I've come across a few clients who felt guilty for no longer allowing a draconian soul to draw on them for vital force energy. And truth is, the draconian soul would just move on. There's plenty of souls in the world. We don't have to be an energy source if we don't want to be. Now let's talk about the other negative soul group, which is the changelings, which we briefly mentioned in lesson 2. But changelings shift their orientation from positive to negative and back again, and so their blueprint is really unstable. Now they're inherently negative souls in that they must receive vital force energy from others. Their blueprint and their patterns of choice lack the stability to consistently receive specific qualities of vital force energy from divine source. And they're having a very hard time these days. The vibrational instability of their energy pattern doesn't function well as our world becomes so polarized through the greater availability of choice. Now, the changing soul group is not actually a soul group of origination as the others that we have discussed. Changelings start out with either a positive or negative divine soul blueprint, but they usually begin their journey as positive souls. But what they do over many lifetimes is that they switch orientation back and forth and back and forth really rapidly. So they do what is expedient, and they do this to themselves. They go negative, positive, negative, positive, negative, positive, right? And they do this for a lot of lifetimes. And they do it to the extent that their own blueprint loses stability. So this is something that they have created through choice. I just want to be really clear about that. So they do it over many lifetimes. The soul is just not very adept at functioning as a positive or a negative soul. They're always in a vital force energy deficit. Again, it happens through choice. There's no reason to feel bad for them. The deterioration of their blueprint is self-created, and it's therefore perfect because they created it through free will. And they could theoretically at any time return to a positive orientation, just like all souls. But they have learned to thrive on very high levels of drama and dysfunction. Now, while draconian souls use manipulation in this masterfully subtle way through shame and guilt, changelings just create way more drama. Changelings are not that subtle. They can't be because they need a lot of attention coming their way. Draconian souls are really good at being negative souls and receiving attention and energy from others in a way that's just more subtle. They're manipulative in a way we don't even sometimes recognize, and that's okay. And some of them maintain so many relationships that it actually doesn't affect the individual much at all. Changelings are a whole different story. They are not subtle at all, okay? So they will often associate with light workers. They're often found in the healing arts and in the personal and spiritual development field, and they'll go through phases where they work very hard on themselves, and this is during their upward positive vibrational phase. Now, that phase is always followed by a negative turndown. So changelings will self-sabotage, create drama, and everyone who's gotten to know them during their positive phase will now try to help them, thus giving them lots of energy. So a changeling will work very hard to pick themselves up from whatever disaster or drama they created, and everyone will be like, oh my God, they're working so hard. And, you know, family members will buy into this upswing, and they'll meet new people, and they'll seem like they're really evolving and invested in their growth. And then disaster inevitably strikes. They'll self-sabotage, they'll do something really dumb. And next thing you know, drama, disaster, and everybody in their lives will sort of go in this downward spiral with them and get drawn, sort of sucked into the drama. This is just what changelings do. Sometimes that pattern can take 5 years, sometimes it can take 6 months. It just depends on how good they are at receiving energy that way. So eventually, the changeling will hit rock bottom, then they'll start working on themselves again. So it always allows the changeling plenty of time to associate with new helpers for their downward cycle. Changelings are really rough on their families. They often suffer from depression, addictions, and other self-sabotaging behaviors, and they can be very hard on their family members. But this is how they receive enough vital force energy from others. Their blueprint is so deteriorated, they need a lot of focused energy from one person or a small group of people. Now, changelings will always show up as a block to truth. Their energy pattern is always shifting, so it's just impossible to read for them accurately. But what happens is that clients, again, will bring changeling family members in because they engage in so much self-sabotage. So usually it's the adult child of a changeling or a sibling or a spouse that, you know, realizes that there's a pattern of self-sabotage, so they come to us to help their loved ones, and this is how we end up knowing about changelings in our practice. Best thing you can do is tell a client to actually discourage much self-improvement and development work in their changing family member, because that minimizes the up and down cycle, which can be such a crazy roller coaster ride for everybody involved. More than anything, changelings need stability. So encouraging them to like go after the lives of their dreams, it's actually a terrible idea. Just And it sounds terrible to encourage them to just lead a life of normal mediocrity, but that's actually better for them. They just need to keep doing the same things over and over again and just get into a nice stable position and just do that. Just do this job that you can tolerate. Just stabilize. Don't go on any big self-improvement kicks. Don't try anything, you know, going after your grand vision. Just go for stability. That can really help a changeling, and it can minimize the fallout for everybody in their lives. So they need to just be encouraged to maintain a manageable status quo, to engage in healthy routines and habits, and just shoot for normal. However, they would have to do this for themselves. And the problem with helping or encouraging these souls is that we immediately become their source of vital force energy. That's what makes things so difficult. There really is no helping them. Because when we help these souls, we become part of the way they receive vital force energy. And then we actually just, it's not really becoming part of a problem, but it's becoming part of the pattern. So trying to help these souls is not only judgment, it also continues the pattern of them receiving vital force energy from others rather than connecting to the available energy from divine source. Now, it may sound terrible to just leave these souls to their own devices, especially when their family members creating self-sabotage, but if they were to actually receive vital force energy from nobody, they would be far more likely to tap back into divine source. See, that's the thing. If we left them alone, they'd have no place to go except for divine source, for vital force energy. Now let's talk real quick about overtones and underlays. Every once in a while, souls will present not only with their soul group of origination, but also with an overtone or underlay of a second soul group. Now, they will not present with both. They'll have either an overtone or an underlay. Now, an overtone means that a soul has spent a great many incarnations in a star system that is not its origination, to the point that it has begun identifying its divine soul blueprint with that group as well. And an underlay means that a soul spent very little time in the star system of its origination, then moved on and now identifies with the soul group it moved on to. So I know that can sound a little confusing, but think about it this way. So I'll give you an example. I was born, of all places, in Istanbul, Turkey. Now, I don't remember that we moved to Germany when I was probably less than 2 years old. So I don't remember Istanbul, Turkey at all. It's just sort of something in my passport, but I don't relate to it. Instead, we moved to Germany, which really I identify as German. That's actually my nationality. My first language is German, right? So that would be the equivalent of having an underlay, right? I originated in Istanbul, Turkey, but I don't relate to it because we moved and spent most of my years as a child in Germany. So I relate more. So my soul group would be German. My underlay would be Istanbul, Turkey. All right. So that's kind of an example. But then you can also reverse it, right? It's like, all right, so I'm German. I identify as German, but then I moved to the States when I was 18. And I also identify somewhat as American now because I've lived here so much. So that would be like the equivalent of an overtone. All right, so you might get a soul that is Mintaken and has a Polarian underlay. That means they started on Polaris, but probably didn't spend a whole lot of time there, but then went right away to Mintaka, and that's where their main identification is. Or you might have a Syrian soul who's got a Polarian overtone. That means they spent most of their time on Sirius, and that is their soul group. But hey, they also spent enough time on Polaris to gather some of those characteristics, to identify just a little bit with that as well. So a very tiny percentage of souls have overtones or underlays. And when an overtone or underlay is present, chances are that the soul works a little bit with the energetic characteristics of that overtone or underlay, but just a little bit. Just understand, though, the soul group is the soul group. It is the soul's main energetic identification. They are never both. The overtone or underlay just adds this slight flavor to the soul's main self-identification. So whatever comes up as a soul group of origination is how the soul self-identifies. So if you've got a soul and it comes up as Sirian, it is Sirian. Now, it might also have a Polarian overtone, right? Which means they may be more into loyalty, a little bit more steadfast. They might like to do things in committee, just like Polarians do, but just a little bit. But mainly, they have the characteristics of a Sirian soul. So don't overestimate the influence of an underlay or overtone. All right, it's just like a little flavoring, but you do want to look them up when they're present because it's just another component of our client's divine soul blueprint.